What's going to work out, Mr. McGregor? Tanya and Dunga's giggle, then on the water, who said that, and go home when they had the one notice. In the Aboriginal voices, Oscar de Wanyawar Oscar, Ne Jota FM, CFRC.
And it is 6 o'clock, and you're tuned to CFRC 101.9 FM. Ani, Nichkime, Doug Farquhar, Indigenous Cause. Meanwhile, Sean's story, as na minwa, and a schnubby, no way win. And here we go on this absolutely gorgeous sunny Tuesday afternoon. Yeah, I know. It's a little bit cold. People are still complaining about all that white stuff that came down. Huge blanket of snow all over my yard, all over the trees. It was so much fun. And even my dog loved it. Holy smokes. She a beagle. Yeah, I hear people laughing out there. Yep, she just put her head down, trudged along pushing snow, and came up with the snow on her nose. It was absolutely just beautiful. Lots of fun until we got around the corner past all the trees and we got out into the open field area, and she turned and basically looked at me and said, I'm out of here, because it was so cold. Anyway, tonight, Sean's on assignment, and so we have a guest host with us tonight. Welcome Kathleen, and how are you?
Hi, Douglas. I'm good. I'm Kathleen Pogacar. I go by Kat, but nice to see you.
So I should call you Kat?
Sure. Yes, please.
Oh, good. Okay. And you're here at Queen's University as a student, are you?
Yes.
Okay. So what are you doing? What are you doing? Are you in the first year, last year?
I'm in my third year of health sciences in my undergrad.
Oh, okay. Health sciences?
Yes.
Is there a special focus you want to do?
Something in a medical field, either dentistry, optometry, or even research.
Mm. Research, great place to be these days, I think.
Yes.
Yeah, well, we'll see. There's lots of things changing and happening in the medical field, aren't they?
Yes, constantly.
So everything you learn now, you're going to make, as a researcher, you're going to change some of those things?
Yes, of course.
Oh, that's good. It's really interesting to find a student who is interested in research and sciences and then have you come in as a guest host.
Yes, no, I'm excited and surprised myself.
So you've had a tour of the radio station here at CFRC, and you know it's run by a lot of volunteers. Yes. Students and campus, all campus folk are here. There's some profs, the faculty members doing radio shows. There are some staff members doing radio shows. Many, many students do it, but also community people come in. So you get a real mix of folks around who are programmers, lovers of music. But what stood out to you when you took the tour of the station with me?
Honestly, all the records and CDs you've guys kept since, was it 1990?
Well, yeah, many of those records will go back into the 60s and 70s.
No, that was insane. There were so many. I feel like I could just walk on for like miles.
Oh. Well, remember what I was saying, Kat, that we have you're the guest host?
Yes.
Yeah. And Sean's on assignment?
Sorry?
Sean's on assignment, but he's here now. Hey, how are you, Sean?
I'm good, Doug.
Oh, I'm great to have you.
Who are we talking to, Kat?
This is Kat, yes. And she's our guest host tonight, but also she may be interested in coming in and maybe becoming a programmer. We're not sure.
Yeah?
Trying to convince her that's really fun.
It is. It's incredibly fun. We've been doing it forever.
We have records here that have been here longer than we are.
Almost as long as we have. No, I was coming in and you said something about being in the medical field.
Oh, well, I'm just in my third year of undergrad in health sciences, so... Something, I hope to do something later in the medical field.
Okay. Like what?
Either dentistry or optometry, or even med school dermatology.
Oh, wow.
Oh, okay. Well, that'd be interesting. Good. Wonderful.
Sorry, and you're Sean?
I am Sean.
Sorry, nice to meet you.
It was good meeting you, too.
Yeah, they made the Sean's in Don Ross studio over there, so we can look through the glass and sort of see him. But
you can't see me at all. I turned the light on.
Well, no, I'm glad you did, because I thought I was hallucinating there at one point.
I should leave my my sunglasses on.
Now, Sean, you're going to be interested in this.
What?
Because Sean's a musician, too. He plays the piano.
Oh, wow.
I try to play the piano.
Okay. But, Kat, you have a band.
Yes, I'm a part of a band here with my university friends.
Oh, yeah, what is it?
We're called Sleep on the Couch.
Oh, yeah. And what do you play?
I play the drums.
Oh, okay, good.
How long have you been playing the drums?
I took lessons for a year when I was 11, and then I took a break and came back to it end of high school.
Very nice. Okay, cool. And is there keyboardists, or is there?
Yes, we have a keyboardist, Richie. He's on the keys.
and a bassist.
Yes, Mateo, and then our lead singer, Key, who she also plays guitar, and then we have our lead guitarist, Henry. But our other original guitarist we had, he's on exchange right now, Jackson. But
where'd Jackson go?
He is traveling all of Asia right now, but I think his final destination is Japan. Okay. He's still traveling.
Oh, that's okay. Japan's okay.
out of trouble.
Speaking of Japan, they have a bullet train.
Trains have been on a lot of people's minds around here. The high-speed train, you may not have heard about it.
Okay.
A lot of the students haven't heard about this thing.
No.
Are you not from Ontario?
I am.
Oh, okay then.
Enlighten me.
The federal government announced a year and a half, 2 years ago, that they were going to have a corporation search for a route for a high-speed train, you know, the kind of train that you might have seen in France, for example, called the TGV.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, they do 300 kilometers per hour, and so it goes. They want to go from Quebec City to Montreal, Montreal to Ottawa, and Ottawa to Toronto. But have to get a route. They don't have a track yet.
Okay.
And that's where the struggle is, right?
Yeah.
They're trying to go through Sean's territory.
Not necessarily my territory.
Oh, north, just north of it.
North of.
Okay. Of Tyndonega. Or they want to go through my territory where I live, just north of Kingston.
Okay.
Or a little further north, and you and I were talking about Charbert Lake, up that direction. So, they people in all of the spaces from Ottawa towards Peterborough are upset with where they selected possible route.
Oh, wow.
So now that they got everybody upset, they're finding out what they could do.
Okay.
And how they could do it.
I see.
Mm-hmm. They've already found it out. They changed legislation to say that, yes, they can expropriate.
Yes. Well, that was always there for expropriation.
No, it wasn't always there.
Oh, it was.
Like, I understand the yes, it is, but they made special caveats to it there.
The special items that you're talking about are like the provincial government made changes to the legislation for Ontario so that these major projects that they want to do don't have to go through all of the environmental reviews. They don't have to go through anything else. They don't even have to tell people they're coming. I don't know.
Environmental red tape.
Oh, okay. Anyway, that's part of what. So this high-speed train has been taking up a lot of Sean's time, too.
I see. I'm sorry.
As much as
I want to ride on a bullet train, I also am on the side of the farmers.
Mm-hmm.
Who don't want this to go through their farming land? So I'm going to go on that side.
But then there's
I can go to Japan maybe.
Hey, you know, that's funny because I people we know in this community, both of her kids, they're adults now, the kids, but have gone from the Philippines and going to Japan. That's one of the things they wanted to do.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and then come home.
That's cool.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting.
Oh, it's half cool. I don't know why you'd want to go to the Philippines.
It's different. Well, I mean, why would you want to go anywhere in the world, right? Or you could actually go out of this world, like the Artemis. Can.
Like the Artemis too.
That's it. Let me come back to Kat. Just
oh,
for a
sorry,
second.
Kat. Yeah.
No worries. Yeah,
we're talking to you.
Your band.
Yes.
How long have they been together?
Well, we formed kind of this time last year, or I guess beginning of March last year.
Mm-hmm. Do you get to play in different venues?
Yes, we played, I think, about 13 shows now between the Mansion. We played at, sadly, now it's closed, the Merchant, the Toucan. We played at, like, Clark Hall Pub just here.
Okay.
And some houses as well. But we have our final show coming up, like, in 2 days this Thursday at the Merchant. So, of this year at least.
So that'll be April the 9th?
Yes, is that...
Okay, and what time?
Our show starts at 10, and we're playing with Duck Pond, another university band, but we're on around 11.
Oh, okay, that's good. So that's the Merchant, which
yes.
is downtown Kingston,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay.
So what kind of stuff do you play? Do you play covers?
Yes, we play covers right now.
Like of what?
Play some Michael Jackson,
oh,
some
nice.
Coldplay, yeah. Some Bruno Mars,
Bruno.
Easy Lover by Phil Collins. We play we play a mix, honestly.
How about that?
I think indie rock
studio.
Pop. Sorry?
Su Studio.
What's Su Studio?
It's Genesis, isn't it? No, it's Phil Collins.
Oh. Sorry, I need to be still. I have much more to learn.
Well, you've only been together for a year, so. So what happens in the summertime? Do you guys all still get together to play, or do they disperse for a while?
We're all from, some of us are from Toronto, some's from out east, but a lot of us are, some band members are going on, like, Queen's internship next year, like, engineers, so we might have to find some new people for next year.
Oh, okay. So this is why you're here as a guest host tonight, letting people know we're a band, but we might have to find some new.
No, mainly for everyone to come to our final show as our band in 2 days.
So final show, somewhere around 10:30, 11 o'clock.
Yes.
On April the 9th.
Yes.
Yes, down at the Merchant.
Yes, you should be there.
That's it. All right, Sean, do you have any more questions?
I have none.
Issues you want to bring up?
No.
Okay.
I was going to mention, though.
Yes.
Is it the Wild Strawberries? They're that band, a Canadian band.
Mm-hmm.
The Wild Strawberries.
Have you heard of the Wild Strawberries?
You might have to look it up.
No.
Oh.
And, like, they have the Marilyn Monroe song. And that guy and his wife formed the band, I think, in university.
Mm-hmm.
And their fallback career is that they were both doctors.
Oh, wow.
Or he was, anyways. I think she might be a nurse.
That's cool. That's
so there you go.
That's very cool.
There you go. You can be a medical professional.
and a drummer.
Then, a drummer, like in a cool band. And, make lots of money.
Yes. We also do play some hip songs, some Tragically Hip. Sorry.
Oh, okay. I was going to ask that.
Yes, but, yes. Yeah. I forgot.
No, I asked that because when we were going, Sean, when I took Kat around on tour of the station, I showed her all of the records. You know, I had to stand there for 4 or 5 minutes while she thumbed her way through. Do you have any Tragically Hip there?
Pretty sure.
And you found one.
Yeah.
One album.
Yeah.
On the top, I forgot to tell you, on the top corner would be the date that it came into CFRC.
Oh, wow.
You can go back and look later.
Okay.
Yeah. But, it'd be a lot of fun. Tonight, Kat, thank you very much for being part of this show tonight. This just made it wonderful for me. And the fact that Sean was here after being on assignment all day, this is really good because he gets to ask you all the really good questions.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. And starting in probably about 6 or 7 minutes, we're going to have a very special event that we're going to do. And it's basically a celebration of life for Tom Kershane, who was here at Queen's University teaching, and he became Dean of Policy Studies. And Sean, you and I went to some of the talks that Tom Kershane and his wife Maggie put together for students, staff, faculty, and members of the community to go to and hear. Very important people within the Indigenous communities. So we're going to do the first half. It's going to take about an hour and a half to go through, but there are three speakers going to talk about their contact with Tom Kershane over time. And I started putting music in between each of the speakers. That'll give people time to think through what the first speaker said. But also, see what I did is I connected what some of the theme in the speaker's conversation to the theme of a piece of music.
Cool, Doug.
Yeah, I've been having fun with that. Anyway, so we're going to get all set. Kat, last word to you. Anything you'd like to say?
No, just thank you so much for having me, and I hope to come back soon. And everyone should come to the Merchant on Thursday night.
Right you are.
Thank you.
About to come up, Larry Bird, the Larry Legend. Go run the numbers up, we gon' come up in a second. Nails all done up, let me pull my bun up. We live in the city, turned up until the sun up. We on demon time, scary hour. Like Mike, I go awesome powers.
Yeah, baby, yeah.
I'm a menace to society. I'm not gonna try to sex, I ain't going out quietly.
Look out!
Y'all been real sensitive, and I can really blame you. Been so repetitive, banger after banger. This for our relations, I even love my haters. I've been grateful for creator, homie. You can thank me later, yeah. Been away, couple hours till I land. I've been hungry all my life, you should see the dinner plans. I need something in my stomach, what's the yams for 100, man? These hunger pains been ugly, I'm a savage when I'm hungry. I'm just a kid from the reservation. When we eat, we need a reservation. Always late, never waiting. You never ate, grab a plate then. Oshkosh boy, peace sake. Writing raps is such a piece of cake. Ricky Bobby never pumped the brakes. Life's a rat race, shake a bread. You know we been cooking, DJ Cook, I'm dropped a bomb on him. Snotty knows the business, you don't like it, call your mom on him. Honor what you eat, but I've never made no honor roll. Snotty knows forever, you could put that on my mama, bro. Eating good, I'm the meal ticket. You don't like it, learn to deal with it. I got the sauce, baby, got the dirty dishes. I've been hungry all my life, now my belly feel real different. Ooh,
different, yeah, real different.
Kids come up, it's supper time.
It's time to eat, baby. Thunderbird fly, let my quake ready. Who my baba crave, dog, I put this on my granddaddy. No more spammy, baby, I've been going hammy. Brush the dirt up off my shoulder before I hit the Sandy family. I just cruise when I move, so I get there when I do. Light skin like Mama Dukes, ain't that the truth? I'm too beast for the zoos, ocean been a swimming pools. Couple brews, make a couple screws loose. You ain't got a blues clue, my Nietzsche. Still think that I ain't got it, but I do, my Nietzsche. No drama, just another karma too, my Nietzsche. I'm cooler pop, cooler, now I'm cool, my Nietzsche. It's what I do, baby. Yo, you word them out, I'm ice cold like the North North when it's snowing out. I'm all in, no way out, we showing up and showing out. Truth hurts, baby, baby, now go ahead and walk it out, walk it out. Nietzsche, please, I ain't trying to beg. It's keep up or catch up, I'm on my second leg. I'm a dog, OGs call me Dag. And I'm so f***ing humble, I don't even gotta brag, my Nietzsche. Two brands,
hey, Victor.
Funny how things change,
hey, Trickster.
The fruits of my labor got flavor. Did my time on the bench, now we major. SNRK, what you saying, boy? Like a vet on the squad, I ain't playing, boy. A public enemy when I bring the noise. We be walking to our own drum, baby, we them boys. We about to eat, raise a toast.
for the speech. Get your ass up out your seats. Ain't no telling how long I've been waiting. It's amazing. On my relations. Supper time, baby. Let's feast.
Let's preach. Feast, baby. I don't need unless the whole family eats. And that's facts, baby.
That's facts.
Kids come up for supper time.
I always be facts.
Kids come up for supper time.
What you think it is? What you think?
My stomach hurts. I can't wait. I'ma eat you up for lunch. Are you rappers out of steam? You go on trees by the bunches. Got a hunch like Notre Dame. I'll ring you bell. You try to front. And about as a kid, I looked out for the street lights. Pouting and fussing, ain't get it done, you wanna eat, right? Came with a spoon and a plate, I'm taking out your deep fry. Banging and jugging was never me, but I'ma steal mine. G-Crest, G5, champagne on a team flight. Besides, you lie, you can't even speak right. I was injured, now I'm Mr. Clean. Hop off the curb, mama cook the beans right.
Time to come home, got an appetite like a bowl. I'm rapping, I need a bowl, and she arching it like a bow. And you tiny, they don't your bowl. Then I'm hooping a bunch of bowls. I'm a star when I get you old. And I'm sick of the bowl. Supper time, time to get it right.
Rap.
Funnies wanna jump me cause I'm Jack.
Get it, do, get it.
Dummy hit a bumpy in the flat.
Big dummy.
Dummy, how I'm telling all these facts. Catch me at a table getting fat. Never share my cheese with a rat. You can come and kick it when we chat. But after that, you gotta go.
You had your time, you had your chance. That was back in my hands. Call me Nick Cannon, start in my pants.
Mama yelling at the window, come and eat your yams. Supper time, I'm hungry, I've been waiting for my chance.
I've been washing my hands all my life, bro. I've been washing my hands every day. I've been washing my hands all my life. Now it's time to eat.
Sick, there's only a few Indians left. There's millions of them in the whole continent of America, which includes South America. And one day they're going to be asking for their rights. I wouldn't be surprised if they weren't standing next to the black people too. So it's either give now or die later.
Time for you to lock in. Freedom's why we rocking. Walking and we blocking. Enough with all the talking. Time for you to hop in. Got the people watching. Stopping and we stomping with knowledge that we dropping. Dismantle institutions. Mishandle distribution. Systemic contributions to those in prosecutions. Media illusions. Weakening solutions. They carry racial bias just like the Constitution. This evil ain't a friend to me. I'll break who you send to me. Working with the government. You're working with the enemy. Gives me energy to wake up my integrity. Abolish any governance while breaking their supremacy. Forget about the laws when you're standing for the cause. We're fighting for our lives and the ones that we have lost. This is for my chalk, written on sidewalks. Listen to my talk, this is for my part.
We're gonna stand, we're gonna fight. The retribution's in our minds. We're gonna stand, we're gonna fight. The revolution's on the rise. We're gonna stand, we're gonna fight. The retribution's in our minds. We're gonna stand, we're gonna fight. The revolution's on the rise.
Does my presence make them tremble? Why they keep on staring? Don't care about discomfort, the Kens and the Karens. Think of where they settled, think about the parents. Complicit in behaviors with the privilege they inherit. Need to break the cycle, need to take a stand. Need to check your friends, start to look within. Need to be the idol, be the helping hand. Need you to defend the people being hit. Walking down the city blocks, assaulted by the city cops. See them acting greedy, watch, never trust the city's ops. Plenty time to rethink, defund the precinct. Every time that we blink, we run to be brick. The empty apologies, lack of restitution. Listen to our prophecies, it's our resolution. Forget the petty policies, break the persecution. Positioning our sovereignty, time for revolution.
What show do you listen to make your Monday mornings that much better? Absolutely Frivolous on CFRC 101.9 FM. We play all kinds of comedy, stand-up, sketch, songs, even poetry, and the occasional interview. Mondays at 10:30 a.m. Tune in or listen to Absolutely Frivolous on our archives page on cfrc.ca.
St. Monday watches over you and me and grants the bone exhausted some liberty.
On Saturday, May 2nd at 6 p.m., the Food Sharing Project invites you to step into a lively, chef-powered dining experience unlike any other. Start the night with a complimentary cocktail, raw bar, and charcuterie before moving through a series of interactive stations hosted by chefs from six standout Kingston restaurants, including Aqua Terra, Baja Craft Kitchen, Bella Bistro, Kutu Catering, Crave Coffee House, and Days on Front. Each station offers a seasonal creation crafted to showcase the talent and creativity of our local culinary scene. With wine served at dinner, live music, a cash bar, and a silent auction, it's an evening designed to delight every sense. Funds raised will support the Food Sharing Project's work, ensuring students across Kingston and area have access to the nourishing food they need to thrive. Tickets are $125 per person. Learn more at www.foodsharingproject.org/savorspring.
My name is Genevieve, and I'll be hosting Peace, Love, and Jenny on CFRC 101.9 FM on Saturday evenings at 8 p.m. We'll be exploring everything from pop and soul to funk, jazz, and even a touch of hip-hop. Music that spans decades but all connects through good vibes, peace and love, and of course, a little bit of me, Jenny. See you there!
If you could volunteer with Canada's oldest campus radio station, well, sign up to volunteer with CFRC 101.9 FM today. We're always looking for new volunteers, and we offer a free training program, so no experience in radio production is necessary. You can start your own radio show or podcast, contribute to our news collective, help us sort through music sent to us by record labels and artists, help plan events, record PSAs for us, and even more. Reach out to our programming manager, Alex Fernandez, via email at programs@cfrc.ca for more information, or visit our website at cfrc.ca/volunteer and sign up today.
If I could have your attention, please. If I could have your attention, please. Considering the level of conversation and the enthusiasm, I think we can already call this symposium a success. For those of you who don't know me, my name is James Fraser. I have the distinct pleasure of serving as the acting director for the School of Policy Studies here at Queen's University. I also serve as associate dean in the Faculty of Arts and Science in the grad portfolio. I want to welcome you to this symposium celebrating Tom Kershane and his many contributions to public policy in Canada. I want to particularly extend a special word of welcome to Margie Kershane, many children, grandchildren, and friends who are able to be here. It's so wonderful that you could come today. Thank you so much. On that note, also, I want to mention and recognize that this symposium is being supported by the Margie and Tom Kershane Endowment Fund, which was established through the generous donations by the family and friends. Kudos have to go out also to Keith Banting, to Bronwyn, and to Carrie for all their tireless work in planning this symposium and pulling it off so well. At this point, I just want to acknowledge that we are on the traditional territories of the Anishinaabe and the Haudenosaunee people. It's been an incredible privilege to live, to work, to have raised my family on these lands and on these waterways. Land acknowledgements are, of course, a chance to reflect on the past, but I'd also invite you to think about the future. And a specific future that I want to share with you is that in 2 weeks, in this very, very room, we'll have a celebratory feast for graduates, Indigenous graduates of our STEM Indigenous Academics program. And they will come together as that community that they built 4 years ago, way back when they were starting their undergraduate adventures here at Queen's. They make our community so much more rich. That program is actually a program jointly offered by the Faculty of Health Sciences, Smith Engineering, and the Faculty of Arts and Science. So on that point, I would like to cede the podium to my boss, Interim Dean Bob Lemieux.
Thanks, James, and good morning, everyone. On November 4th, we lost one of Canada's most influential economists. Tom Kershane was a remarkably creative thinker who devoted his career to sparking debates over public policy in Canada. Tom continually challenged conventional thinking about the leading economic and social issues of the day, and his own ideas continually evolved, taking him into new and inventive directions. Today we're gathered to celebrate Tom's life, his legacy, his service to Canada, and to Queen's University. In addition to his role as a public intellectual, Tom served as a founding director of our School of Policy Studies, and he was the inaugural Stauffer Dunning Chair in Public Policy. After completing his term as director of SPS, Tom took on the Jaroslawski Deutsch Chair in Economic and Financial Policy, and he served at various times as director of the Institute for Intergovernmental Relations and the John Deutsch Institute in the Department of Economics. In many ways, Tom represented the continuation of a long tradition of engagement in public policy debates at Queen's University. This tradition can be traced back to the university's earliest days. Principal George Grant was a principal in the late 19th century, whose name, of course, graced our clock tower. He was a leading public intellectual of his time. He crisscrossed the country debating the policy issues of the day. This tradition was carried forward in the 20th century by faculty members such as Adam Short and Odie Skelton, who helped build a modern public service, especially at the federal level. In 1988, this commitment to public policy led to the establishment of the School of Policy Studies and the successful effort to recruit Tom Kershane to come to Queen's and serve as the first director of SPS. The school has a dual mandate to deliver the Master of Public Administration program, training a new generation of policy leaders for tomorrow, and to serve as a hub, linking the world of research with that of public policy. Traditionally, the school helped energize and integrate research and related social science disciplines, such as economics, political studies, and law. And going forward, our hope is to extend this mission to the university as a whole. Today's symposium celebrates the contribution of Tom Corshane. He was an officer of the Order of Canada, a fellow of the Royal Society of Canada, a recipient of the Canada Council Molson Prize for Lifetime Achievement, and a winner of the Donner Prize twice. Our task today is to understand the characteristics that made him so successful and to draw lessons from the challenges that are facing us today. And boy, do we have many challenges. On a final note, I'd like to recognize the role of Eugene Lang in re-energizing the school during his tenure as acting director. This past year has seen a remarkable program of weekly speakers, bringing leading policymakers and commentators to the school and enriching our collective understanding of the challenges facing contemporary governance. Gene also attracted new talent to the school, including Bob Ray as a Matthews Fellow in Global Public Policy. And Gene has worked with the school's advisory council, and he's provided great leadership to the MPA program. Thank you, Gene. And now it's my pleasure to invite Keith Banting to the podium.
So thank you, Bob and James. And I'd like to add my personal word of welcome to everyone here. There are so many familiar faces, old friends, new friends of the school. Thank you all for coming. It's a remarkable testament. The turnout is a remarkable testament to Tom and to the wonderful things that the ways in which he lit up our days when we worked together. Is this working? Can you all hear me? Okay. So, as been emphasized, Tom made remarkable contributions to a wide range of economic policy in Canada. He was known for his work on monetary policy, financial institutions, economic regionalism, equalization, fiscal federalism, and social policy. In addition, Tom tackled some issues that are particularly sensitive, including the place of Indigenous people in Canada. In designing today's sessions, we have asked our speakers on two panels to address two questions. Simple questions, but probably the answers are complex. The first question was, why was Tom such an effective contributor to public debates? What was it that was special or distinctive about Tom's approach to being an academic in Canada in that era? Why was he so successful? He tackled a wide range of policy issues. Was that it? He had multidisciplinary instincts. Maybe that was part of it. He was fearless in pushing policy issues that went beyond the boundaries of contemporary debate at the time. The French artist Henri Matisse once said that creativity requires courage. Well, Tom had courage in spades, and I think he was always happiest when his work was just on the edge of the world of policy as it was unfolding at the time. But what else was involved? His uncanny ability to anticipate issues over the horizon? That's one of our questions we have posed. Why was Tom so effective? A second question we have asked our speakers to address is perhaps a little more complex. Does Tom's approach to public policy remain relevant today? Tom saw himself as what he called a market populist, combining a reliance on markets with a commitment to protecting the vulnerable, those displaced by economic change. Presumably, such a combination would seem relevant in any age. But we obviously live today in a different place. Tom was a man of his age. His world, as I understand it, was worked on the assumption of globalization and deep integration with the American economy. He once used the phrase Tina. Pardon this personal indulgence. So the phrase Tina, T-I-N-A, developed in Britain when Margaret Thatcher was pursuing her very strong economic agenda and defended her position as saying, there is no alternative. People in British, the British journalists started to call her Tina, there is no alternative. Tom, in one of his presentations, I'll never forget, took the phrase Tina and then said, in Canada it meant trapped in North America. Okay? So that was the world that Tom saw. We now live in a world where the Prime Minister tells us there's been a major rupture in the geopolitical and geoeconomic context. And so one has to ask, what is the position of a market populist today? Are we in a world which is less reliant on markets and more dependent on state leadership? Or are we in a world where the same kind of magical combinations that Tom worked can also continue here and now? So these are two simple questions. And we've to answer them, we have put together, I think, a remarkable set of panels, two panels, each with three people. So I will be your moderator for the first panel, and Jennifer Ditchburn, president of IRPP, will be moderating the second panel. So for the first panel, I'd like to introduce our three panelists briefly. The details of their bios are in the pamphlets that we handed out that you should have gotten as you came in. And so I will be very general in my observations. First, Robin Bodway. Robin is the David Chadwick Smith Emeritus Professor of Economics. His career in economics was based at Queen's University, and he has had a remarkable career, past president of the Canadian Economics Association, a distinguished fellow at the University of Munich, an honorary degree recipient at a number of universities, and his research has focused on public economics in the main, public policy, intergovernmental relations, fiscal federalism, and redistribution. And he has a number of recent books articulating the key concepts in these areas, and I'll leave you to track through the actual titles. Our second speaker is Kevin Lynch. And in each of the panels, I should say, we tried to combine a Queen's scholar who has worked with Tom and knows his work well with a policy practitioner who has seen Tom from the on the receiving side, if you will. And then another person who I call a younger generation, but Lisa Powell thinks that's a little, well, I'll explain in a moment. So, first, sorry, I'm making a hash of this. First, Robin, and then Kevin Lynch is our second speaker, hailing from Cape Breton. The Honorable Kevin Lynch has been a leader in public policy and in public, the private economy throughout his career. A distinguished former federal public servant, Kevin was the 20th Clerk of the Privy Council, Secretary of the Cabinet, and Head of the Public Service of Canada. His government career also included Deputy Minister of Finance, Deputy Minister of Industry, and Executive Director for Canada at the International Monetary Fund. Following his government service, he's been very active in the private economy, including as Vice Chairman of BMO. I would also notice that he is a recent co-author of a book trying to make sense and to help reform the structure of government in Canada. And we recently had a launch event here at Queen's for a book he co-authored, A New Blueprint for Government, Reshaping Power, the PMO, and the Public Service, which advances a pretty, I would say, radical transformation of government in Canada. Dr. Lynch is a member of the Queen's Privy Council, Officer of the Order of Canada, and has received 11 honorary degrees. Our second speaker is Kevin Lynch. Finally, our third speaker is Lisa Powell. Lisa Powell is Distinguished Professor in the Division of Health Policy Administration and Director of Policy Practice and Prevention Research Center at the University of Illinois in Chicago. She does work on the relationship between food and diet and human behavior and the outcomes that people have in terms of health. She is a major mogul in the world of finance in these areas. She is the manager of major gifts, major contributions from the Bloomberg Foundation. We were chatting yesterday, and she says that she's one of the very few of her colleagues who actually has a research grant, a massive research grant, that hasn't been pulled back, because it's from the Bloomberg Foundation. Lisa has had a remarkable career, but that's not exclusively why she's here. Lisa was one of Tom's students. He was one of her advisors during her PhD, and during her years when she taught at the School of Policy Studies. She taught economics for about 6 years here, and we were very sad to see her go. And in a sense, Tom was one of her mentors. Academics can have influence through their research in several ways. One is to publish work and try and shape debate that way. And another way academics have research is through their doctoral students, whose ideas they sometimes influence and who become another generation shaped by the work and the guidance of a faculty member. So Lisa is, in a sense, one of those people, and I think you'll see that reflected in her remarks. So thank you very much, and we will start with Robin.
Thank you, Keith. I'm one of the old faces he referred to. I'm very flattered to be given this opportunity to offer some celebratory remarks on Tom Corshane's massive contribution to Canadian economic policy. Like everyone, I very much admired his originality and policy insights and learned a lot from him. He was really one-of-a-kind scholar whose ideas influenced economic policy debates in Canada for over 5 decades. He put an unending sequence of unimaginable ideas on the table, and it was quite awesome to watch and absorb. In preparing my remarks, I wanted to try and figure out what drove Tom's ideas. What were the basic principles that he followed? I'm going to try and distill what I thought that was. You may disagree with me. I actually went back and perused as many of Tom's writings as I could. This was a tough but rewarding way of spending an old-fashioned Canadian winter, or a Saskatchewan winter, as Tom would have remembered it. Doing so reminded me that Tom wrote faster than I could read, just like he spoke more rapidly than I could comprehend. And if you ever went to one of his talks, he put more information on his slides than you could possibly absorb. That is, he had a lot to say and he wanted to get it out. The breadth and originality of his work is quite stunning, but what I learned from reading it was that as diverse as it was, his underlying methodology was, I think, quite consistent and in many ways suited to the time. So let me talk about Tom's approach to policy. I don't know if I'm going to be exactly hitting on the two questions that Keith posed, but let's see. His characteristics as a policy scholar were well captured in the introduction to the conference volume published in his honor, entitled Thinking Outside the Box, aptly. The editors, Keith Banting, Rick Schakowsky, and Steve Lehrer, characterized Tom as a public intellectual whose approach was multidisciplinary, accessible, and outside the box, all of which are true. His work spanned a wide range of areas, including regional economics, international economics, monetary economics, macroeconomics, fiscal federalism, environmental economics, social economic policy, human capital growth, et cetera, et cetera. But in all these areas, I think his approach was quite consistent. As Keith mentioned, Tom referred to himself as a market populist. But I think that does him a disservice. He was firmly market-oriented, but he was no populist, at least in the sense in which the term has come to mean nowadays. He didn't cater to any particular group and had no particular urge for public acceptance of his ideas, some of which were pushed back on. I would say instead that he was a market liberal, liberal in the small L sense, the classical small L sense. He put the interests of individuals at the center of his policy prescriptions. His default position was to decentralize policymaking to the lowest level feasible or efficient, starting from the individual, then the city, the province or territory, the First Nation, finally the federal government, and possibly to constrain higher level decision makers. This corresponds with what we have come to call the principle of subsidiarity, codified in the European Union. He applied this principle flexibly. Lower level decision makers could delegate their responsibilities upwards, and they could do so individually, selectively, leading to an asymmetric outcome. His implicit preference was for as little as possible overlap in responsibilities. This approach inevitably led to challenging the status quo in many areas, and doing so in ways that would have, in the political sphere, required some constitutional amendment. But that did not deter Tom. He was also, I think, very much an idealist. But there are many examples of this decentralized approach to policymaking. Let me mention a few examples in no particular sequence. An early controversy involving Tom was his claim that regional transfers, unemployment insurance, and the like led to something he called transfer dependency that discouraged out migration from particularly the Atlantic provinces and stunted their development. He argued that policy should be people-based and not place-based. And he emphasized the role of markets rather than governments in addressing regional inequalities. No need to say that there was some pushback to these ideas from the maritime provinces. Related to this, Tom argued that redistribution and social policies were often more effective the more responsibility was given to individuals for their own well-being. For example, creating equality of opportunity would encourage individuals to better prepare themselves for the information and technology age that he saw coming by investing in human capital, contributing to what he called a state of minds, one of his typical plays on words. He argued controversial for human capital investment as a superior alternative to income redistribution. He viewed social policy as a component of economic policy whose role included developing human skills and capital to prepare for the new world of information and technology. Apart from advocating equality of opportunity for individuals to exploit, Tom paid relatively little attention to redistributive policy. One exception was his advocacy of a negative income tax, what we now call a basic income, which he viewed as being the least intrusive and the most effective redistributive policy on offer. His views on subsidiarity were especially pronounced in matters of government responsibility. He advocated decentralizing as much responsibility to the provinces as was feasible and efficient. This included social policy, unfettered by the federal spending power, the ability of provinces to opt out with compensation from federal shared cost programs, financial regulation by the provinces rather than by the federal government, increased provincial revenue-raising responsibilities and a separate provincial income tax, and active provincial fiscal stabilization policies. If this led to fiscal competition, all the better, since this would result in experimentation, flexibility, accountability, and efficiency. If the provinces wished to defer to the federal government in any policy areas, that was their decision. That should be their decision. Alternatively, cooperative arrangements among the provinces, that is, a confederal relationship, might be better than federal involvement in provincial policy areas. Tom's preferences for decentralized decision-making was partly a matter of preference, but also partly driven by global forces that reduced the potency of the federal government. Who can forget the hybrid term glocalization used to describe how globalization rendered the federal government impotent and enhanced local policymaking? Tom accepted federal authority where necessary, but preferred to limit federal discretion. He accepted the need for equalization, famously calling it the glue that binds the nation together, a description that stuck, if you'll forgive the pun. But he advocated circumscribed federal discretion. Equalization should be formula-driven and should not be creep into other federal programs. Equalization should include not just revenue capacity equalization, but also needs and costs of public services. The stance explicitly that taken to benefit Ontario, or to treat them fairly, as he would say. Provinces would have a role to play. Resource revenues would be subject to a separate self-financing scheme operated by the provinces alone. The idea being that the federal government did not have direct access to resource revenues, so the sensible way to redistribute them was to rely on the provinces themselves who did have access to those revenues. Tom was also concerned with aspects of industrial policy. He encouraged provinces to save their resource revenues in a sovereign wealth fund, both to shield resource-dependent provinces from uncertain prices and also to shield non-resource industries from the so-called Dutch disease. This concern with the Dutch disease was expressed long before it became a matter of broader academic interest. Tom recognized the possible adverse consequences of heavy Canadian reliance on resource industries and the need for addressing the challenges imposed by information, technology, and competition. But this did not seem to translate into a role for an interventionist industrial policy for the federal government. Again, the preference for a people versus a place approach and for markets prevailed. Controversially, Tom recommended a North American monetary union, reducing federal discretion over exchange rate policy. This was contested by the economics profession, by some in the economics profession, but it was informed by the work of another famous Canadian economist, Robert Mundell, who won the Nobel Memorial Prize, partly for his work on optimal currency areas, and who incidentally lived in Kingston for a number of years. It was complementary to Tom's support for an unfettered internal economic union. The culmination of his decentralized views was to imagine Canada to imagine Canada, reconstituted as a community of the Canadas, with five regional jurisdictions, including a First Nations province,